Welcome to SPARTNER SVP, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct the question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press star and then one. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will turn the meeting over to your host, James Arola. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and good evening, everybody. I'm so glad to be here with you tonight. I know the weather is not so good, so we'll talk safe inside, hopefully inside your houses right now, and we can have a nice call together. I am also very pleased to see the participation. I understand we have almost 30 participants and counting as we begin this call. I appreciate your patience. I know we're starting a little bit late, but I'm very glad that you're here, and we are trying this time out, which seems to be a better time for people to join. I know that you're working during the day, and so having this call at this time might be much easier and more convenient for everybody. And it's really important that we have participation in this because it's your opportunity to be able to talk with myself and my leadership team, and we can help you through your issues or concerns or just any questions that you may have regarding your work experience here. So thanks for joining, and thanks for spending the night, some of your evening with us tonight. I want to start by saying, and we don't have too much to talk about or to discuss prior to us getting into the Q&A, because I think it's really important that this meeting and this forum be used for you as a way for you to ask your questions, voice your concerns, and get the support that you need. So we're going to allow for a lot of Q&A. But I do want to talk about something really important and something that's really new and something you're going to hear a lot about, and that is that New York State has now required the mandate, meaning that it's not a choice anymore, for everyone who works with patients in any healthcare setting to be vaccinated against COVID-19. And so this is a big initiative, and it is an aggressive push by the state in order to control the virus and keep everybody safe. And so I know that there are many deeply personal feelings about vaccinations and whether or not people want them and want to take them. And how do I say this? I don't want to say that it's unfortunate, but it's the ability to be able to say, I would choose not to take the vaccine and, you know, continue to work is no longer there. And so in order for people, I want to make this very, very clear, in order for anybody who works with a patient, and that goes for anyone in any healthcare setting, so it's nurses, it's physical therapists, it's anybody in a hospital, it'd be anybody in a nursing home, and anybody who sees patients in the community is required to be vaccinated against COVID-19. So that means you and all of you on this call and all of the people that you see in the home from the NSNY or the nurses that come visit you, that come visit and supervise, everyone who interacts with the patient must have the vaccine. And that will become effective. So the mandate is effective now, but everyone has until October 7th, which is a month or so away, to receive their first vaccination, or they will not be able to, you will not be able to continue work, and you will not receive any new assignments. And so, I mean, I said I don't want to say unfortunate. What is unfortunate is that I know that many of you, hopefully, all of you on this call received this vaccination, and that this doesn't come as a surprise or as bad news. But if it does, we do understand and realize that throughout the pandemic, how hard you worked, and how much you were committed to your patients, and you know you wore your PPE, you went to work every day, and you did everything that you could to keep yourself and your patients safe. The situation is out of our control. It's not a Partners in Care or a VNSNY requirement. It is the state of New York. And in order for us to be able to continue to operate, we must comply with the state of New York. And that's not to say that we don't feel that getting the vaccine is the right thing to do, or that, you know, it's the best way to protect yourself and your families against the virus. So I just want to make that very clear. Getting the vaccination is not a bad thing. But I do respect the fact that people have very intensely personal feelings about the vaccine. And, you know, we would all like to say and have the option not to, if we don't want to. So that's, you will be receiving an email and something in the regular mail, like a letter, and you'll probably have already received texts through Care Connect in your telephone about this new mandate. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions and a lot of concerns. And if there are concerns, and there's a lot of instructions, right, about how do you, if you haven't been vaccinated, how do you get one? Where do you get one? We're going to do everything we can, and we already have plans about where you could go get it if you need it. How do you access it? How do you find a location? We can make a referral. Rosa Marcus is also on this call, and will probably be able to offer some support and some suggestions, at least on this call, if you have any questions. But we will make the experience as simple and as stress-free as we possibly can for you. So we will provide you all the necessary support in order for you to be able to get the vaccination. We are not anticipating that anybody's not going to want to get the vaccination and leave the organization. And if that's where you stand and if that's how you feel, then that's something we want to talk about with you as well. So I'm sure that that's a lot of information and a lot of heavy decision making that you're going to have to, you're going to have to do now, but we are here to support you in that. So I don't know. I have members of the leadership team. I have Tom Kokoza on the line. Who's the director of operations. I have Lorraine Earl, who's the the director of support services. Rosa Marcus, who's the director of support services, and Debbie O'Hare, who is the director of quality and education, on the call as well. I don't know if any of you want to add anything to what I said or, provide any additional information.
So, Jim, thank you for explaining clearly as to what's required and what's needed and the DOH mandate. Again, as Jim said, it's not optional. We have no, or you have no choice. I mean, you have a choice to get it or not get it, but in order to continue working, it is required. And as Jim said, the first dose by October 7th, we hope that you don't wait till October 7th to get your first dose, but that is the date to get your first dose. So I just want to, reinforce. So, during the pandemic and up till now, you've worked so hard, so diligently to protect your patients and to provide quality care to them. The thinking and keeping them safe. The thinking behind receiving the vaccine, based upon research that's been done and conducted and studies, is that getting the vaccine not only keeps you safe, it keeps your patients safe, and it would keep your family safe as well. So I can't stress enough the importance of getting the vaccine for the reasons in which I just said. So, as Jim said, we really hope that you get the vaccine and continue to provide the high quality of care you provide to your patients, and keeping them safe, which is we know that that's what you want to do. So, just echoing Jim's remarks and, saying them again.
Thanks, Debbie. Thanks. You said it really, really well. And I do want to underscore, it is your choice not to get the vaccine if that's what you want to do, because nobody can make you. But it does not become a choice when it as related with respect to working. So that's where, you know, that's where there's not an option. Unlike the flu, because some of you may have that question too, where you could elect not to take the flu vaccination, but you could wear a mask. That's not an option. That's the state is not allowing you to opt out or, you know, mask up instead of getting the vaccination. And, you know, Debbie made a great point about the science behind it. Like, it's not about, you know, the fact that PPE or what you've done or what we have done as an industry has not been effective in helping prevent the spread. It's just that the variants that are out there and the Delta variant, which I'm sure you've heard of, and some of the other strains are so much more deadly and so much more concerning. And those that do not have a vaccination are highly susceptible to, you know, what is a deadly virus. And so that is, I think, a lot of what prompted the state to make this decision that, you know, you can't leave it really in the hands of people anymore to kind of decide they don't want to take it. So, again, it's important that you take it. It's been proven safe and effective, and I'm not here to preach to you about, you know, whether or not you should take it. You'll have to make that decision. Just know that we want you to take it so that you can continue to work here, okay? And so, Rosa, Tom, anything else you want to add?
This is Rosa Marcus. Mm-hmm. The email, the text, the letters that you will be receiving has full instructions on what you need to do in the event that you don't have the vaccine, who to call. There's a number there for you to reach us if you have more questions. But it also has in details how you can get documentation sent to us on a timely manner. So, you know, feel free to look at it. There's also a link on sites where you can go to get the vaccine, and you can easily click on that link, and it takes you to all the sites, and you can make your own appointments. But at the end, if you need help, feel free to call us. Thank you.
Yep. And if I could add, if you've had the vaccine, some of you, hopefully, are sitting here saying, oh, hey, I had my vaccine. and you didn't send it to us, send it to us. And then we'll update the record, and then you're done. Many of you, where we have learned as we've begun to work on this, have learned that many of you have been vaccinated and we're not aware, and we don't have the proof of it. So send us the proof, and then this is not an issue for you.
My understanding, and Jim or Rosa, if you can, my understanding is that you were vaccinated at VNSMY in the clinic, that you do not need to submit documentation.
Right. Right, right.
All right.
Good point. I meant it if you went and got it on your own since.
Correct.
Yep. Right. Thanks, Debbie. So if you went and got the vaccination outside of the VNSNY clinic that we had, and you went to, you know, another place outside of VNSNY, we would need the proof of that.
Yes.
If you've been vaccinated by VNSNY, then we don't need the proof. We have it. I said that right, Debbie?
That's correct, yes, sir.
Okay, great. Okay. So, Tom, is there anything that you want to cover before we open up to Q&A? Lorraine?
Nothing right now, just as usual. If any aides on the line, they're looking for work, I just want to let them know there's always work. Actually, the staff is actually there right now trying to find an aide for 7 hours tomorrow. So when this call ends and anybody's available for work, I'll give them my number. They can call me right back. But as usual, we always like to say there's lots and lots of cases and lots of work. Just ask the aides to be flexible and willing to two short hour cases. We try to merge them together, but there's always work available. And even as we speak now, we're trying to place a 7 hour case for tomorrow. So when the call ends, I give my number, they can call me back, and actually the case is in Richmond Hill. Just want them to know there's work for everybody out there.
Yep. Great point, Lorraine. I want to add to that not because you didn't say it well, but just because I want to reinforce the importance of it. I'm sure that there are many of you on this call that receive maybe multiple calls a day from people looking, you know, asking you for work. It's because we so desperately need more of you. And we have many, many, many more available hours and cases than we do have of you, right? So we need as many people as we can working as much as they can. I understand that we don't always have work that may be 100% to your liking and convenience, but that's what we have, and we really want to make sure that people are working as much as they want. And people need to realize, everyone needs to realize that there is a lot of work available for you to make a full day, but you can also make a short day if that's all you have. Whatever time and whatever availability you have, please, please, please let us know. And if you're having a problem getting a case, if you're having a problem, nobody should be saying or feeling as though they don't have enough work or that they don't have a case. If you don't have a case, then we have to make sure that we get you one, and it won't be hard, okay? We can find you a case right now. So please communicate, let us know if you're having a problem getting a hold of anybody, to let them know about your availability. Rosa, we'll give you contact information before the end of this call, or it may come up during the Q&A. So if another important thing to note, if you know anybody, I hope you know about our Refer a Friend bonus. If you know of anybody that wants to become a home health aide, or you have friends that already are a home health aide working at another agency and maybe they're looking for more hours or they're looking to make a change, for every person that you refer to us, you will receive $100 after they are hired and work for us. And for every person that you refer, again, it's $100. So refer your friends. There's no better way to say that your employment experience here has been a good one, other than by as much as it is to refer somebody here to work. So we want to reward you for that. And the more you refer, the more $100 you make. It adds up. So I would encourage you to do that. What else am I forgetting now? Anything else? Tom, anything you want to add before we open it up to questions? I just want to remind you, sorry, Tom, I just want to remind you about in-service. I'm sure that you're receiving your in-service notices, which should be coming through the Care Connect app. If you're having difficulty accessing it, if you're having difficulty completing the course, please let us know. Debbie, is there anything you want to cover on the in-service?
Just that we've released all 10 modules of in-service. We have over 1,000 home health aides this morning that had completed all 10 courses. The sexual harassment was only released last week, and we have up to close to 2,000 aides who've completed the first 9. We also have approximately 600-700 aides that have not started any training. So I know that Faye Morgan and her team has begun or continue to do the outreach. So the training needs to be completed by the end of the year. The only two courses we'll be adding still, or the two courses, will be annual compliance, which we anticipate having out early October, and then the SAGE video, of which you've seen. Every year it changes. So we've made great progress. You're doing a great job, but we just need to keep up the good work and achieve the goal of every class being completed by the end of the year. You can do it. We have the aides that are doing it, so I know that the courses are working. The issues we had with the Chinese courses have been tested and are available and working at this point in time.
Okay, great. Now, Tom, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I have a couple of things. I'll be done. So, one, there is a
there's an HHA employee survey that's being sent out every day via Care Connect. I know it's now, there's a message about it on Santrax as well. We really encourage every HHA to take it. The survey is anonymous. We're not going to see who said what or what they said, but this is really important feedback for us as a leadership team to know what's going on with the home health aide population and to make decisions based on that. This is something that we do amongst the office staff every year, and changes come to improve the lives of the office staff members because of the survey. We want this the same kind of benefit that happens to the home health aides as well. So please, if you haven't taken it yet, take it. Tell your colleagues that we really want you to take it. I know that sometimes you think, oh, it says anonymous, but it's not. It really is. We'll never know. If you do have anything that you want to say that you're afraid of, you know, somebody hearing, we want honest feedback. If we don't know about a problem, we won't be able to fix a problem. Okay? So that's one. And then two, in case any of the aides on the call here work in Long Island or Westchester, we've talked about this in some of our prior calls, but we are changing the computer systems that we use in the office from SanData, which is what the company that owns Santrax, the number that we call it out on to work, to HHA Exchange. So we're going to start with the Long Island and Westchester aides in 10 days. You really won't have to do much different, but it will be a different phone number to use. And we just want to make sure that you guys are aware of this, that it's coming, and that next week the home health aides will see training material, videos, written stuff about what this change means for you, how to do it, and you'll have an opportunity to ask questions and get help if needed. Okay? So that's all I have, Jim.
Okay. Great, Tom. Thank you. Important updates, and you will be hearing a lot more as you participate in these calls about the system conversion as we roll it out across the larger organization. So my final thought and my final comment before we turn it over to you is I want to extend my appreciation and my gratitude and recognize how hard you all work every day. As I listen to this call, and I hear all the information that we're giving you. It's a lot. It's a lot of overwhelming information. It's a lot to do. It's a lot for you to keep track of. And meanwhile, you're out there every day in the community, taking public transportation and, you know, going through a lot of challenging and difficult situations just to see your patients. But the work that you do is so important and so necessary, and we are only as good as the people that we send out to work every day, and that's you. And I just want you to know how much we appreciate you and the work that you do. And when Tom talked about those surveys, like, we really want to make sure that you have a voice. And this call is one way for you to have a voice, but also if you have a quiet voice and you would rather speak anonymously, please let us know through that survey how we're doing. We cannot make changes unless we know how you're doing, and we care about you and how you feel about working here. We recognize that you have many choices in places of which you can work, and so we feel very lucky to have you here, and we want you to stay here. So. With that, operator, if you could maybe open up the queue.
Sure, thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To cancel your request, press star 2. One moment, please, for the first question. At this time, speakers, we don't have any question in queue. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Record your name clearly when prompted. To cancel your request, please press star 2.
All right. Don't be afraid to ask any questions. I don't know. Operator, how many callers, how many participants are on the call, could you say?
Yes, as of the moment, we have 40 participants, approximately.
40, okay, 40 of you, that's fantastic. I'm so happy that 40 people are here with us. While we're waiting for,
we have questions on queue already.
Great.
One moment, please, as I gather the information.
So don't be shy, everybody, and you can ask any question you like about anything at all. It doesn't have to be anything that we talked about either.
Speakers, our first question comes from the line of Alta. Alta, your line is now open.
Okay, good evening.
Good evening,
I appreciate you opened the issue about the vaccine, because I have two questions. Okay, I have the vaccine, the two doses. They say we need a booster, right, after 8 months. October 16, I'll be the 8 months. I had them 8 months in October 16. And then can I go over there to Partners in Care, Visiting Nurse, Partners in Care, to take the booster or
okay. First of all, thank you for asking that question, Alta. So there has been no, and I'm gonna speak from just my knowledge. I'll double check this, but there has been no requirement of a booster vaccination at this point in time. You may have heard, and there is a lot of information circulating about whether or not a booster is necessary, whether or not it's going to become, you know, even available. They're not booster vaccinations are not even available at this time. So there's no booster requirement. They're not even in the whole country, let alone for us. So you don't have to worry about a booster shot at all. Okay. Now you don't have to worry about a booster shot at all. Now, if the federal government or, you know, powers that be that are much bigger than me decide that that's something that they recommend, then we'll certainly make that information available to you. But there's no booster required at all.
Okay.
So you're good.
Thank
if you had your vaccine, okay. You're good.
Yes. And then another question is, it's not a question. It's a, I concern about the family member, my patient family member, because they say if the Partners in Care put a mandatory, like no Partners in Care, the city put a mandatory to take the vaccine for the AIDS, the family member of my patient say, oh, Alpha, you have to let me know when you get it, because I don't want nobody, listen to that, nobody take the vaccine coming to my mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. And then,
well,
okay, I have the vaccine. I have the vaccine already, but
yeah.
I don't let them to know, because that's a patient privacy. I'm the patient. I can keep it, you know, quiet. I don't have to tell them. But in that moment, the Partners in Care say, okay, like now, in October 7, everybody has to take at least one dose. And then they know for another A or whatever it is, Partners in Care put a mandatory. What can I do with that?
Okay, so I want to make sure that I understand the question and that I answer it correctly. So there's a couple of points that you brought up. And the first one is, with respect to your vaccination status, whether or not you took it or not,
yes.
You're right. You don't, it is your, that's your right. You don't have to tell anybody that you took it if you don't want to. But if you did take it and you don't mind sharing that information with your patient, you're free to do that. That's your choice to do that. So if they want to know and you feel comfortable telling them, you can tell them. We can't tell them, and we wouldn't tell them. But as now, so the question about whether or not anybody that comes into the house for your patient or anybody's patient starting October 7th is going to be that, and it's going to be assumed that, not just assumed, but it's safe to assume that every single person that comes into their home has been vaccinated because it's required.
Right. That's what I say. Okay,
yeah.
Maybe I say, no, I don't take it. But maybe even for the neighbor, not have to be for another age. For the neighbor have the same service with Partners in Care. Say, oh, no, they put it mandatory and then have to put it. And each A had to take the vaccine. And then
Yes. That's
why I concern. I don't want to, you know, they take me like, oh, you lied to me. You know, I have like a couple of years with the family. I don't want to, you know, to be involved in something like that. Like,
oh, of course. And I understand that. And we don't want you to be in an awkward position either. So if your patient has any questions about the mandate and whether or not you or anybody else that's coming into their home is going to be vaccinated, they can call us and we'll explain it to them. So if you want it, just let them know to call the agency. We're happy to explain it to them on your behalf. Okay?
The people work in the city, you know, with the city. That they work with the city, and then I can understand why they thinking like that about if I have the vaccine, I can infect another person. I can think it right with this issue, you know, because they say, oh no, if you take the vaccine, you can infect my mom. You pass the virus to my mom.
Uh-huh. So the vaccine, sorry, Jim, do you mind if I...
Go ahead. No, not at all. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So taking the vaccine taking the vaccine will not allow you to infect someone else, taking the vaccine.
Of course. I understand that.
Right. There are... what they say, breakthrough cases with the Delta variant, that it is possible after taking, even if you've taken the vaccine, you can become infected. The part of that is that, you know, it's been shown that people who have the vaccine have mild symptoms, the majority of not hospitalized. I don't want to give a number, but it's a very low number of people who've received the vaccine who have more severe symptoms. So that's what I want to say. Not everybody understands that. And in those cases, they can call the agency and there'll be someone there that can explain it to them, any of their questions.
But I don't know. That's just, I suggest that. If he, the visiting nurse or social worker, or I don't know what is the perfect person can go to the with the patient home and tell explain what's going on with that, because it that's not the first family say that, you know. I know we can infect nobody. We can pass the virus, not the data, but the virus. You know, we can pass if we vaccinate. Even we vaccinate, I know how you say we can get the virus. I know, like if the flu or whatever, any vaccine you can get the virus anyway.
The other thing to remember too is for you, Alta, and everybody, is even if you've been vaccinated, you still need to wear your PPE, right? You still need to wear
of
your mask.
Of course.
So, I mean, I think that there's always going to be patients out there that that are questioning about whether or not anybody, not just you, like not just the home health aide, but anybody's coming into the house there's always the risk, right? There's always the risk. I think that's something that, you know, can never be 100% guaranteed that people are not going to be able to pass the virus.
Yes,
we wouldn't have the problem, right? We wouldn't have the problem that we have. But we do everything that we can to ensure that we're following the guidelines and that people are informed and that, you know, having this mandate, having this vaccine mandate is going to go a long way in alleviating a lot of concerns about this very thing. So if I hear you make a great point, if the nurse or social worker could explain, I don't know if we would be able to send somebody into every single home to do that, but we can certainly reinforce with the nurses that do come in. And as Debbie said, and I mentioned earlier, if your patient really has a question about the virus or how it's transmitted or how many people, you know, they're at risk for when they're coming in and out and they have concerns, vaccine or no vaccine, we can help them.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you for
answering
me because I concern about, you know.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question.
Thank you. I say thank you to you because I'm sorry, but I have to tell you, you do a great job because now we call to talk with the supervisor. They very nice. They very polite. We ask. Because another day, I call you, Jim, and then I let you know sometimes the supervisor, like a
I remember, yes. I remember.
With you some cases, you know. But
I remember.
Now I say thank you. Now I say thank you because they, you know, I don't know what they you doing or the everybody doing there, but they're very polite now because I say the truth. I say the truth. I say thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that feedback, and that's really nice. I'm really glad to hear that, and I appreciate you saying that. So we have to still keep doing the good work. So you let me know when we're not. All right.
Okay. Be sure I do it.
Okay.
Okay. Then have a good evening. Thank you.
You too. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Florenda. Florenda, your line is now open.
Hi. Good evening. My name is Florenda. I'm just asking, my question is about the survey, because they said the survey is unanimous. When I go to that link, they asking about the employee ID before they begin the survey, and then when I put my employee ID, they said it's invalid.
Ooh, okay.
That's a good question. Okay, go ahead, Tom.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm very curious about this. So I want to address the first thing. They ask you to enter your employee ID because they don't want me to answer the survey, right? They want to make sure that the person is a home health aide.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's why they're asking. They're not going to record that information anywhere as to who you are. They just have a list of employee IDs. So can you give me your employee ID? And I'm going to find out why that's not working. Okay?
Okay. Employee ID is 82039.
82039.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you a call tomorrow. 82039. I'm going to give you a call tomorrow and we'll find out, all right?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Florenda. Any other questions, Florenda? Was that it? Okay. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. But because I'm the, I get the positive COVID result on last March 2, and then I'm not working for about a month, more than a month, because
do you need clearance?
I call the partners in care.
Yes.
Because they have assessment that they always it's like a routine. Every day you need to answer that if you are sick.
Yes,
you know?
The daily assessment. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I get the result because I get the result after my work. I go to the center and I get the positive result, and then the next day I call my supervisor to not go to work because I'm sick.
Yes.
And she don't want me to allow. So the only thing that I did is I go through the assessment, the daily assessment. That the question is that I put yes instead of no, because I don't want my patient got contaminated on me. But I have no symptom. I'm asymptomatic. When I called the supervisor after the 1 month, more than a month, and they said, she asking me if my patient is going back home. I said, I don't know. I have no idea. So I called the daughter. And the daughter told me that her mom is in the hospital, and they got a shingles all over the head. And my patient is a COPD. So it's hard for her to breathe, especially she got also the shingles. So it's more difficult for her to breathe. So until she passed away, I call every day my supervisor if she gonna get me another case, because I cannot wait my patient, because my patient is, I don't know when they're going to discharge in the hospital. So in a short story, I lost my insurance. You know, if you don't get the 100 hours, you never get the, you're going to lose your insurance for the $11.99.
Yes.
So until now, I don't have insurance. So all my appointment, I cancel everything.
Okay, Florinda, are you working? Do you need work, or are you clear to work?
I get the case when I go to the SANCA, but my supervisor never give me any case. So I need to feed. I need the income. So I go to the SANCA because I have a SANCA, and I get that. In the past few months, I get just only 1 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour. Now, in the middle of July, I get the regular 8 hours for 3 days. Until now, she's my regular now. But still, my concern is my $11.99 insurance. I don't have $11.99 insurance. And now, I receive that I need to pay the COBRA for $2,280. For what? That is my question. For what?
Okay. So we have your ID. Tom is going to look into the survey. At the same time, Rose is going to look and see what you're working. And as far as the COBRA goes, that's required if you wanted to continue. In other words, you're saying that you're not working enough hours to maintain the health insurance. And again, that's an $11.99 requirement.
Yeah, but I called the COBRA, and I tell that I'm back to work.
Okay.
And
then you don't need to take it. In other words, COBRA.
My insurance, but I don't know why they send me the bill for about $2,280. And the insurance is terminated last June 30.
Right.
And
so
July,
I
have a lot of appointment, doctor's appointment on July, but I canceled everything before. I received the letter that my insurance is terminated. I received a phone call from my primary doctor. The secretary told me that my insurance is inactive.
Mm. Okay,
before
we'll
the terminated paper.
Okay, so what we're going to do, if there's a way that you can, are you able to maybe fax or send that letter in? We probably can find a copy of it, but what we're going to do, what I think you got is a letter saying that if you need to continue your health insurance, then you would have to pay this amount in order to keep your health insurance active. That's what COBRA means. It's meaning that you're no longer entitled.
Expensive.
Oh, I understand. But if you're working and you're going to make the hours, then you won't need to take COBRA. So let's sort that out. We'll do that. We have your information. Rosa, we'll work on this. At the same time that Tom is looking into the survey question, okay?
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
So you're going to let me know about
Yep, this. Absolutely. You'll hear from Rosa. Yep.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
because I need the insurance.
I understand.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a nice day.
You're welcome. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Speakers, we have another question on queue. One moment as I gather the information.
Okay. While we're waiting for that, there was a question that was submitted in advance of this call that I'd like to just go over. It was a question regarding the phone system, and it's difficult to speak to the supervisor, and that there's not a message telling you that you can leave a message. So the question is let me read the question. My question is, how is that there's a phone system when you call to speak to your supervisor and you don't get her, there's a message telling you that you could leave a message, but yet you leave numerous messages and never get a single call back? Okay. So the question and the issue is that they've been leaving messages for the supervisor for over 2 weeks and then never got a call back. I think we looked into this earlier, and the supervisor may have been out on leave or vacation. Is that right, Rosa or Tom? I think that I see that.
Yes, supervisor is out on leave. She's recently returned. So that part is true. It depends on the situation there. If that voicemail is going right to that supervisor's inbox, they're only getting it now, right? You've been leaving messages, you don't only have to leave a voicemail you will have someone else feel that call. And Rosa, you can talk about this a little bit more about their options going through the call system. But I want people to feel like if they want to talk to somebody, that's the only person that can, right? Right?
Okay.
Yes, Tom, what are you trying to say is if you want to speak to your supervisor and for some reason you can't get through and she's not returning your call, just call the queue back and get back in touch with anyone in the group and they will be able to help you. Don't feel like you only have to speak to your supervisor. They're there and it's the best thing to do when you call, but they work as a team, and if one can help you, the other one will. So feel comfortable to trust that.
But we will also look into we will also make sure Rosa's going to research this a little bit more because we just want to make sure that if messages were left, that we retrieved the messages and got the message and right. That's I think the bigger issue. Okay.
Right.
Great. Thank you. Tom, we had a little trouble hearing you, but I think we got it.
I'm sorry about that. There's a bad storm.
I know. Okay. All right, operator, I'm sorry. I wanted to make sure that we got that call that came in advance.
Speakers, we have one question on queue from the line of Eve. Eve, your line is now open.
Hello, good night. I have a few questions and comments. My first one, is it an option for you to take the COVID test as opposed to the vaccine?
I'm sorry, say the question one more time.
Is it an option for you to take the COVID test every week as opposed to the vaccine?
Oh, no.
But you didn't mention about that tonight.
No, you're right, and that's a good point. I said about you can't opt to wear a mask, but you also can opt to test. Yeah, there's no option to test.
Okay. I just want to add one other thing. The only option to opt out, so to say, is medical reasons. There is no ability to look for an exemption for religious reasons. That is not an option. The only way.
Well, that's what I was coming with because I got my rights. That's what I was coming with. So there's no, what you said about that, can you repeat again?
So the only exemption that's available is due to medical reasons. There's no exemption for religious reasons.
For any other reason. The only way that the state is only granting
Thank
exemptions
you.
That yep, that are for medical exemptions that a doctor is prescribing. So there's no
okay.
exemption for any reason or anything else.
Okay. So how come if I have to take the vaccine and the clients is not mandatory for the clients to work with to take the vaccine? We work with a lot of clients that is not vaccinated and they decide they're not going to be vaccinated. So I'm protecting them, but they're not protecting me.
So
that's not my reason for not taking the vaccine. I'm one of them not going to take the vaccine. So I'm trying to make my choice here now.
So if you take the vaccine, you are protecting yourself. So you also protect others because the ability for you to transmit the virus is much less, but I hear what you're saying about the patient, but you getting the vaccine alone protects you from getting any, you may get the virus, but it would be very mild with less symptoms. So the vaccine itself, regardless of whether or not someone else gets it, does protect yourself.
So who am I speaking to? What was it?
My name is Debbie O'Hare. I'm the director of quality.
Okay. All right. My next question is, I'm sorry?
Just so you know, I'm a registered nurse, so I am a nurse.
Okay. My next question is, so how do I go about if I want to resign? Because I have choices here. I'm one of them against taking this vaccine.
Okay.
How do I go about if I want to resign from the company?
So, but before you go to that, one of our suggestions is that you speak to your physician or your care provider, whether it could be a nurse practitioner, and have that discussion with your provider, your doctor, your nurse practitioner, to get their information so that they can then potentially explain things better than we can do it here about the importance and the benefits of getting the vaccine. How you would go about resigning, Jim, that I don't know, but we would really want
okay.
you to talk to your doctor first.
Yeah, but thanks for the suggestion, but I did that already. The two doctors I have, all they do is pushing vaccine. I got issues with this vaccine beside my religion. So many people take this vaccine and it's still getting sick. Janet Jackson, the Texas man, all of them. Why are you taking vaccine and still have COVID-19? Something is not adding up. Something is not adding up. This vaccine is not working, and they are trying to fool me with it. So I have options. The state wants to mandate people's life, so I have options if I could opt out and choose not to take the vaccine and choose to resign. So that's what I want to know. How do I go about resigning? Because
okay.
I personally don't think that is fair. All of them coming up and mandating vaccine on people. You suggest my doctors. The two doctors I have, every time I go, they push vaccine. They're pushing vaccine. That's all they do. And the vaccine is not working. They're fooling people, but they're not fooling me. But I have my religious belief. How come I could take the vaccine and the Jewish people can't take the vaccine? I have my reasons to believe what my religious reasons why I cannot take the vaccine. So if you're not
choice,
I'm asking how do I resign?
So any health care provider in all of New York State is not allowed to be exempted for religious reasons, whether they're Jewish, whether or not they're Christian, or, Hindu. So the Muslim, the ability for an exemption due to religious reasons in all of New York State is not an option. So it doesn't matter what your religion is. I just want to make sure
let me just say this. I just want to say this, if I can. So do you want to – let me say this. It's your – you have your right to resign if that's what you want to do. It's not what we want, but we can't stop you from doing that. And I understand why you feel that would be your best choice. Because if you're not willing to take the vaccine – then really there are no other choices.
Yes,
you're
on the phone. I'm sorry.
Okay, I just want to ask you one question. Are you resigning? So when you say you're resigning, would you be resigning from home health aid work? Is that what you're looking to do? Because
yes,
if you resign from Partners in Care, you would, and you would. So that was my point.
All the agency in New York State is going to mandate you to take the vaccine. No. Mm-hmm. I just resign and go home to my country where they can't mandate this nonsense. Because this to me, this is bullshit. All of these people take the vaccine. Nobody could come and tell us. And they're getting sick, right? The vaccine is not working. How many people we could call? Texas governor and all these things. They're trying to control people's life. I have my reasons. Now they're saying that you could opt out. They don't know that you could go and they have legal rights where you could go and get things for this. How many people did them sue and they win? Right, they come with the choice. I was going for the choice, taking the COVID. Now they're mandating this thing here. They're not giving people a choice. So who controlling people's life? Who controlling people's life? And they're saying religious reasons you cannot? This is nonsense.
So you are in control of your own life, and if you decide that you want to resign, then you have the right to do that. The process for resigning is to submit a written notification, just a letter to the to HR. You can send it to Rosa. Do you want it to come to it? We can send it. You can send it email. You can send it in writing. You can either send it to the 220. Okay, you could just let us know in writing that you want to resign and when your last day is. That's not my wish for you to do
but
that. Then, but I understand
you know, it's
your
very,
position.
You know, it's very hypocritical, right? Because we have to do all of these kind of things to stay in line with the agency and the health department. But the clients we're going with is not doing it, and they have the first option and the rights, right? Because that's how everybody gets paid, right? To take care of them and the money come down on the floor. But I think the government, this thing is, I don't want to say no more. But I just needed to know how do I go about resigning. Because pretty sure I was going along with the COVID test. I don't like it, but I want to choose that over being vaccinated. And they're telling me my religious beliefs don't stand. Okay, so who's in control?
Yeah.
This thing is not working. And one more thing I'm going to say and let somebody else talk. The thing about it is that if they had, look at it this way, maybe other people on the line think that way too. If they had get a certain quota amount by July 4th, like they say, they wouldn't have to push and mandate nobody to take the vaccine because they didn't get the amount that the president wanted by that time there. And now the blame is on the people who was going to the hospital not vaccinated. When they get the certain amount, people still going to go to the hospital and still coming and still going. So I'm waiting to hear what's the next story. Dr. Fauci and all of them is a bunch of liars and bullshit. That's my thing. And I'm not insane anymore. I'm done. You already answered my point. The back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We vaccinated. Why the hell we have to wear masks? Where I work, I have to wear 3 masks for a lot of different reasons. Hot, no AC, nothing. People dying in these places here. And then you got COVID shot, and you still have to be on the thing. It's hot, even when it's not hot. Anyway,
I understand.
Frustrated, that's all. I'm just
I hear you.
Anyway,
I'm
finished. I let somebody else get online.
Okay.
I get your answer. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Speakers, at this time, there is no question on queue.
Okay. All right. Well, so that was a good discussion, and I hope that I don't want to end on a bad note. I hope that you use all of the information and the resources that are out there, both in the community as well as at the organization. Know that we're here to support you through the process. We understand that it's not easy. We understand that it's a very weighty decision. I respect the last speaker's position on it, and I am not in any way disagreeing with anything that was said. We are just in a position where we have to impose what is a mandate that we expect there to be this kind of feeling about, and we're hoping that we can do as much as we can to get as many people vaccinated that are willing. Maybe change some minds if that's what it will take, because we really don't want to lose any workers and we don't want to lose any workforce. When it comes to the patients, I will say that we don't control the patients. We don't control you either. So I just want to make that very clear. You all are free to do what you need to do. But when it comes to the patients, we are providing a service to them, and we will do our best. Part of protecting them is making sure that everybody is vaccinated. If they don't want to, that's not something that the state is imposing, that healthcare organizations need to ensure that their patients are vaccinated. We encourage that they be vaccinated because it's in their best interest to be. But, you know, we are acting as an employer, and our responsibility is to our employees and to our workforce and to our team members. And so that's why it feels a little hypocritical and feels a little one-sided that, you know, the patients can do what they want, but, you know, we don't have the right to choose. Let me say that you do have the right to choose. I think I've said that before. Your choice is your choice. Whatever that may be, we hope it's not to leave. But if it is, then of course, that will have to be. So, at any rate, I do appreciate the participation, and I do appreciate that everybody has stayed with us as long as they have on this call. I hope that it has been helpful. This is a monthly call, so that we have this every month, and I will probably keep it around this time because it seems to be a better time for people. But my final thought is, if you have something to say or a concern or an issue, you don't need to wait for a call like this. You can call us at any time. I'm available to you at any time. I may not be able to get back to you right away, but if you do call and leave a message or you email me, I will respond. Okay, so for that, stay safe. Have a good night. I hope you stay dry. I think it's raining very hard right now, and so hopefully you are all tucked inside. All right, so have a good night. Thank you.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.